Jeremiah 33, verse number 1. Just want to read the first three verses tonight. Bible says, "Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah the second time, while he was yet shut up in the court of the prison, saying, Thus saith the Lord, the maker thereof, the Lord that formed it to establish it, the Lord is his name. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and shew thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not." To our prayer lives and seeking the Lord over the matters of life, we often find ourselves in one of three places. Sometimes we don't even bother praying about our situation and our circumstances. Sometimes we find ourselves not willing to take the time to wait on the Lord whenever we have prayed to Him about what we're going through. And there's sometimes we walk away after praying unsure if God even wants us to know the answer. When we come to our text this evening, we find that the scripture speaks specifically to these problems. The Lord told Jeremiah in verse 3 to call. He told him to expect an answer. And he said, you've got the privilege to know the unknown. When we come to this time in Jeremiah, known as the weeping prophet, when we come to this juncture of his life, it is at a most crucial time in Jerusalem. The Babylonians are coming toward Jerusalem from the east. They have already defeated the Assyrians, and nothing seems to be standing in their way to come in and take Jerusalem and conquer. The leaders of Jerusalem are trying to come up with some type of way that they can counter the Babylonians. They're trying to come up with some attack of which they can go against these great military people and their chariots and their people and their leaders. And while they're trying to figure out how can we do this, Jeremiah steps in to inform the leaders there that God had already let him know that they were going to go into captivity. And the best thing for them to do is that they could go out and they could just surrender. Well, the leaders didn't like what Jeremiah had to say. And so they take Jeremiah and they threw him into prison. Now, our initial thought of Jeremiah is, what an awful tragedy for Jeremiah. This is just an awful experience that Jeremiah is going to have to live through. For Jeremiah the prophet has been ignored. His message has been rejected. He has been despised, and now he is being imprisoned by those leaders. But this is the exact situation that Jeremiah was living in. But in the midst of the darkness, God himself comes to Jeremiah with a candle of light. And Jeremiah may have been in prison, but I'm glad the word of God was not imprisoned. You see, tonight there's not enough bars to shut out Almighty God from speaking to our hearts and giving us a word from heaven tonight. I'm glad that we can hear and we can understand and we can know the truth of what God wants us to know in our lives. Now, out of this prison experience that we're dealing with tonight, something good is going to come out of this. And this evening, you and I are beneficiaries of it. I'd like for us to look for a few moments tonight at some of the truths that are revealed in chapter number 33 and verse 3 tonight, and I'd like to preach on this. She just sang on God wants to hear you sing, and I want to preach tonight on God wants us to pray. In order for this to take place and God wanting us to pray, he tells Jeremiah in verse number 3, he says, call unto me. I want to say something about there must be an acknowledging whenever we pray. God told Jeremiah, he said, call. The word call is an interesting word. It means to address by name.
He wants Jeremiah to come and he wants him to call upon his name. There is no other name like his name tonight. There is no other name to pray in tonight but his name tonight. And God reveals himself in our text this evening in verse number 2 as the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, all caps, Jehovah. That's his covenant name. When you study out the word Lord, study out the word Jehovah, you'll find out that in that word you dissect it at the beginning, the middle, and the end. He's God of the past, he's God of the present, and he is God of the future. And I'm glad tonight if he's the God of the past that heard and answered the prayers of the saints of God around Poplar Springs, I'm glad he's the same God that can hear and answer the prayers of the people and the saints tonight of Poplar Springs. And hallelujah, if we get out of here and another generation comes up, he'll be the same God that'll answer the prayers of the next generation that comes through. Amen. We need to call upon his name. Why? Because that's what he said to do. He said, call unto me. You see, he's commanding. He's encouraging. He wants Jeremiah to pray. And Brother Allen said something last night. He said, God commands us. He says, but he said, we've got a choice to do it. And the question tonight is will you call on his name? Will you pray? God wants us to pray, but will you pray tonight? I want to tell you what, we never be may be placed behind prison bars like Jeremiah right here, but God knows. And God knows how to put us in circumstances and situations in our life to teach us that we need to talk to him. F.B. Meyer put prayer into three categories. He said, if you want to pray little, he said, then you ought to expect little blessing. He said, if you want to pray more, then you can expect more blessings. But he said, if you want to pray much in prayer, he says, you can expect much blessings. I want to tell you tonight, we're missing out in our spiritual lives as Christians tonight because we fail to pray. God wants us to pray. Why are churches the shape they are tonight? I'll tell you why, because we don't pray. We don't seek his face anymore. We don't seek him and we don't long for him. We need to pray tonight because God wants us to pray. Now, whenever we get in these hard situations of life, as Jeremiah in this prison experience, how many of us are quick? I'm quick to do this sometimes. God, would you please get me out of this situation? We don't like conflict, do we? We don't like trouble. I don't like to wake up in the morning, go through the day and have to face a trial. I don't like that. And we say, God, get us out of this mess. We don't like to suffer, do we? We don't like the difficulties of life. We want God to change the trial. We want God to change our circumstances. And we'll say something like this, Lord, would you please take me out of this situation so I can better serve you? Did you know sometimes God will put us in the situation so we can better serve him? There must be an acknowledging. But you know what I notice about Jeremiah in his prison experience in his life? This is what gets me, is that Jeremiah didn't ask God right here. He didn't ask him to get him out. He didn't pray right here, God, get me out of prison. He didn't jump to some type of conclusion, but he waited to hear what God had to say to his heart. And what Jeremiah gets from God is what is pinned down in verse number 3 tonight. And what Jeremiah got from God had a far greater impact than getting him out of prison. And I just want to tell you tonight that God never allows difficulty just for the sake of difficulty. There's a reason tonight. There's always a higher purpose involved in the midst of our difficulties tonight. But here's the struggle that I face. Here's the struggle that you face, is that we can't get our finger on God's higher purpose in the midst of our trials. And we find ourselves asking, why hasn't God done something yet? Why has God not intervened on our behalf? What do, preacher, when it seems like nothing's happening? I'll tell you what you must do. You must exercise your faith by waiting on His Word to speak to our hearts. But you know just as well as I do tonight that waiting is not easy. You don't like to wait in line just as much as I don't. You don't like driving up to McDonald's having to wait in line, do you? Amen. Some of you don't like to go to a restaurant and walk in and say it'll be 15 minutes and we're shaking our heads saying, I can't believe we got to wait 15 minutes. Some of you parents, you don't like to drive up an after school car pickup and you have to wait your 15th in line and you're upset because you're 15th and you got to wait on 14 other cars to get out of your way. We don't like to wait. We don't like to wait. That's us. And I definitely don't like to wait on I-77. Help us. We just don't like it. You say, why? Because we live in a culture today, we want the quick fix to everything. If we can't have it done quickly, then we're going on and moving on and going to somebody else. And in our spiritual lives, instead of seeking God's counsel first in our hearts, we'll seek other sources for help. We like to Google it. We want to YouTube it. My goodness, you can go on YouTube and you learn how to do just about anything you want to do tonight. I've learned a lot of things from YouTubing it. But I want to tell you what, there's some things spiritually tonight you can't find on YouTube. You're going to have to call on Him. You're going to have to wait on Him. You're going to have to bring it to Him. Unto God, don't go to Facebook and ask somebody about it. Call on Him tonight. Leave it alone and call on Him. That's what He said. He said, call unto me. And a lot of times we like to go to Facebook and YouTube and Google and whatever search engine you like to use in life. And when we've exhausted all of the possibilities and the resources, that's when we find ourselves running to the Lord and we say, Lord, we've exhausted everything. I need You after all. God help us tonight. You know what the Lord wants tonight? He just wants us to bring it all to Him first. Jeremiah, call on to me. He wants us to stand in His counsel and wait for His word. He longs for us to come unto Him as a son would come unto his father. And tonight you and I have the distinct privilege as God's children to cry out, Abba, Father. Amen. I'm glad I can call out to Him as a son to a father. I'm glad I can go to Him and I can pour my heart out unto Him. I'm glad I can call Him Papa. I'm glad I can call Him Daddy. You say, well, why is it Abba? Well, that's how they got it from the children. That's how they developed that Greek word Abba, because the babies, they couldn't say a Dada or Papa. All it would come out was Abba, Abba, Abba. And that's how they got the word. It's like a little child crying up to the Father. And that's what we need to do tonight as God's children, is humble ourselves and say, God, I don't know how to do this. God, I don't know how to handle what I'm living through, but God, I'm calling on You to help me. God, I'm looking to You to deliver. God, I'm looking for You to save. God, I'm looking for You to bring what we need in our home and in our family. Lord, I'm just calling on You. That's what we need to do tonight. Oh, I'm glad we can go to Him. Listen, He's the only trustworthy source of counsel we have tonight. He is the most available and accessible friend that you have tonight. And thank God when you go to Him, thank the Lord He won't throw up a busy signal, even though a lot of times when He wants to speak to us, we throw up the busy signal to Him. I'm glad God's never too busy for His youngins tonight. And so there must be an acknowledging. Why does God want us to pray tonight? I'll tell you why. It's because He knows we're often caught up in the prisons of our own doing. You ever got yourself in a mess? I have. And the Lord knows. We get ourselves in all kinds of messes. intellectual decisions that we think we've made, we try to do it on our own, we find ourselves in a mess. Some of you tonight are in a mess emotionally. Some of you are in a mess relationally. Some of you are in a mess tonight financially. Some of you young people are in a mess with things in your life tonight, but God knows the problem. And listen, He is the answer tonight to whatever you need. Just call on Him. It's over in Psalm 73. The Bible says it's a psalm of Asaph. Preached through the book of Psalms at our church on Wednesday night. I started in 2008, and I'm still preaching through it. I don't know if they're getting tired of it yet, but we're still going through it. I started at 107, ended at the end, and started back over at Psalm 1, and now we're to about Psalm 76 or Psalm 77. We're getting there. But we got to Psalm 73, and Asaph was dealing with this problem in his life. He was looking at the ungodly. He was looking at all of these people that weren't serving the Lord, and he saw that they were prospering. He looked at it, and the scripture says it even seemed like on their deathbed, they weren't struggling. There was nothing hurting them. It seemed like that everything was easy for the ungodly and the wicked and the unrighteous, and it about detoured Asaph away from being a faithful servant of the Lord. He about threw his hands up and said, God, if they're prospering and if they're getting away with living wicked and having all of this success, he says, then why am I doing what I'm doing? Listen, sometimes you'll find yourself in that place if you allow yourself to get there. Why am I serving God when it looks like the world's just prospering? Why are they able to enjoy all of this stuff and I'm trying to serve God? It seems like nothing's going right. Asaph was falling apart. And he wouldn't dare say a word about it to anybody for the sake of the younger generation. You say, well, how did Asaph get his help? I like verse number 17 in Psalm 73. It's one word and it says, until. You see, Asaph had to get to the place where he went to the Lord about it. You say, where'd he go? The Bible says, until I went into the sanctuary. You see, he went to a place where he could get alone with God and he could seek God about the matter. And you know what happened? Oh, Asaph got the help that he needed, and God helped him and God encouraged him and helped him to keep on serving Him the rest of his days. Listen, if you need help tonight and you need something from the Lord, listen, just call upon Him tonight. Just call. Some of us need to get to that until this evening. We need to get there. D.L. Moody, most of you have heard of D.L. Moody, haven't you? His biographer had this to say about D.L. Moody. He said he never made long prayers, but he was never long without prayer. You see, prayer was a way of life to D.L. Moody. I was reading Adrian Rogers just the other day. He was talking about praying about everything. He said, I'd read the newspaper, and he said, I'd read about a crime. He said, I'd pray for that family. He said, I would ride, he said, as I ride by churches, he said, I'd pray for that pastor and pray for those people when I passed by every church. Didn't matter if I knew them or not. He said, I prayed for them that truth would be proclaimed and sinners would be saved. Amen. That challenged my life. What is it tonight that you haven't called on Him about? I'd say it's about time you called on Him this evening. But not only do we notice that, but secondly, notice in our text this evening, not only is there an acknowledging, call unto me, but I'm glad there is an answering. He says, and I will answer thee. Now listen, one of two things going to happen. You're going to pray right or you ain't going to pray right. And let me say this, if you're not right with God tonight, guess what? You need to get right in order for Him to hear you tonight. Amen. Now we know that much. I believe we're mature that much in our hearts. We make commitments sometimes that we cannot keep. Do you know that? Whether it's intentional or unintentional, my mother and some people always taught me, if you commit to be a part of a wedding, that's one thing you never decommit from. That's one thing I'm going to try never to decommit from. Amen. But there's some things we let people down about. We commit to things and sometimes we don't keep our word. It's a disappointment to those who are counting on us. But aren't you glad that when God Almighty speaks to us of something that He said He would do, thank God it will be done tonight. God will not only hear us, but God will answer our prayers. Now here's what I know a lot of people are thinking right now. Preacher, are you sure that God always answers our prayers? Let me say it this way. The question is not, does God answer prayer? The answer to that is, the real question is, how does God answer prayer? You see, sometimes the answer is yes. Amen? But sometimes the answer is no. And sometimes He answers with, you're going to have to wait. When He answers yes, when God answers that prayer, and I'm right there with everybody, we're ready to shout, we're ready to take a lap, we're ready to glorify God and thank Him for everything that He's done and for answering prayer, and we ought to do that. Amen? When's the last time you stood up in a service and said, I want to thank the Lord for saying no to my prayer request? When's the last time you thanked Him for saying no? That is an answer, you know. And I want to say God answers no whenever He doesn't allow something. It's because it's not His will. Sometimes He says no. And we don't understand that, but I'm glad His ways and thoughts are higher than my thoughts tonight. I'm glad He's God. I'm glad that I'm not tonight. But sometimes we have to live with the answer of no. Now listen, I want to say something right here. Sometimes when we think that God answers no, we think that something in our life is not right. We think that sometimes when God doesn't give us what we've asked Him for, we think that God kept something from us because we haven't done something right in our own lives. But listen, just because you're living right and living in the right in the sight of God doesn't mean we're always going to get the yes. We don't always get that. You see, tonight God is sovereign. God has the right to say no according to His wisdom. You see, the Christian journey is not about us always getting what we want. It's about us seeking. It's about us seeking to glorify Him through a willing and a submissive obedience to His will. God knows what's best for you and me tonight. And many of times when He says no, He is saying that for our protection. Boy, I'm thankful for some of the prayers He didn't answer. Because I'd be in a mess tonight if He did. You say, preacher, a unique opportunity has arisen for me, has arisen for my family or for my child, and God didn't open that door. God didn't allow that to happen. Our hearts were saying yes, and God said no to that opportunity. Well, listen, don't try to change God's mind about it. Amen? That's what we do, ain't it? We'll walk around when God doesn't give us what we've asked and we'll do. We'll walk around and think God's going to have a little pity on us because we got our little lip pooched out. And we'll walk around and we'll get our Bible out and we'll try to find a verse and say, God, there's a verse right there. But God said no. And we'll try to change His mind and all of this, and really what's in our heart, we might as well say it. God, I didn't like that answer. God, I want You to reconsider that question, my request again. But listen tonight, my mama said it, and your mama said it, and daddy said it, and grandmas and grandpa said it. No means no, and wait means wait. It's a hard answer to be told no. It's a hard answer to be told wait. But listen tonight, God is more interested in our character God is more interested in our future and our sanctification tonight than he is in our momentary satisfaction. And when God answers tonight, he answers, his answers are an act of grace motivated by love this evening. Now listen, you're going to respond in one of two ways when the Lord answers. You're either going to answer with a rebellious spirit, you're going to refuse his answer and try to get your own way anyway, or you're going to be a submissive spirit, accepting God's answer even though you don't understand it. But lastly tonight, I want to move on and close. Not only is there an acknowledging, we must call unto him. Not only is there an answering, he said, I will answer thee. But there is, lastly, an admitting. There is an admitting. The Lord said, I'm going to show you great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You don't have to raise your hand tonight, but I wonder, how many of you sitting in this congregation tonight are facing decisions that you've got to make that you have absolutely no idea what you're going to do? We face it a lot. I know I do. There's things I face as a pastor that I've never had to experience, and I don't know how to handle it. I don't know the answers to everything. I know a lot of people think the pastors know it, but we don't. I'm just going to be honest, we don't know everything. Some of them like to think they do, but we don't. And listen, it's the same for you sitting in a pew tonight. You say, why is that? That's so hard. I'm going through something in my life. Maybe it's something, decisions you and your spouse are trying to make, something business related, something in the household with the children or financially, or maybe young person, something going on with school and about to start. And you say, I'm going through these things right now. Why is it so hard? And you say, yeah, I use my knowledge and I use my understanding and I use my experience to help make my decisions. But you say, there's some things I just don't know what to do. You say, why is that? I won't tell you why. A lot of that comes from the reality that some decisions that we're having to make in our life come down to the basis that we have never had to make those decisions before. You're facing things tonight you've never had to decide on. You don't have the experience, you don't have the knowledge, and you don't have the understanding. And because of that tonight, that's why we must realize that there are some decisions that we are going to have to rely on the divine wisdom that only comes from God tonight. That's why we've got to call on him and we've got to wait for him, because there's just some things that are only going to come from him tonight. And when he does, he'll reveal to us what we need to know, how we need to know it, and he'll come through for us in our lives and show us those hidden and those mighty things which we do not know. There are just some things tonight beyond the normal reach of human knowledge. That's why God wants us to pray. Sure, you can make a knee-jerk decision. Anybody done that? But here's what you got to answer. Do you want the approval of men, or do you want the approval of God tonight? What do you want? You ever went out and said, well, we're going to decide this, we're just going to flip a coin? Don't be a flip-a-coin Christian tonight. Some big decision, don't go out and pick a flower and start picking the petals off and saying, I'm going to do it, I'm not going to do it. Don't be a petal-picking Christian. Don't go to the store and buy one of them eight balls and start shaking it tonight, because when you get the first answer and you ain't going to like it, and you're going to keep shaking it until you do like it. That's right. Just trust him. Go to him tonight. You see, the Lord says, I want to show you some things. And God will reveal himself to you in his perfect timing. It's better to wait on God tonight and know that God's in it than to jump in and to realize that He wasn't in it. I remember when God was dealing with my heart, I realized He was calling me to preach, and I went to somebody for some counsel about it. And this is what they told me. They said, you just need to jump right in and you just start preaching. And if you realize in the process that it ain't right, you just need to go before the church and apologize and say that you made a mistake. And I knew instantly when I heard that, I said, that is not sound counsel. Lord, I ain't no telling what I could have done. And who would have put me up in a pulpit anyway if I didn't know? You say, well, how'd you get that settled? I had to go to Him with that. We didn't have YouTube and Google back then. You got to call on Him. See, God is telling us tonight when He does these things and He shows us the things that we don't know, listen, He's gonna do something. Look at this. He says, I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. And what He's saying to us tonight is this: when He does these things, He's gonna show us Himself. When God answers our prayers, we so many times we get attached to the answer. We get attached to the things that are given to us, and we forget the one who answered our prayer. We forget the one who did the great work. Listen, tonight when God answers, He's wanting to show us who He is tonight. Don't forget to see Him whenever He answers our prayers. It will be Him this evening who reveals the hidden things that had previously been a mystery. You say, oh, but preacher, you don't know my burden tonight. You don't know my need. You don't know the size of it. If you still got your Bible there, look over in Jeremiah 32 as musicians begin to come. Jeremiah 32, 17. You think your issue and your problem's too big tonight? Listen to this in 32:17. He said, oh, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. Amen. You say, but that's just Jeremiah talking. Well, if you don't want that, look over to verse number 27. Let's see what God says. He said, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me? There's nothing too hard for Him tonight. You say, why? Why does God want us to pray tonight? Because He told us to. Because He said He'd answer us. Because nothing tonight is too hard for Him. Ephesians chapter 3 verse number 20 says, giving thanks always, Ephesians 3 verse number 20 says, now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or think. Did you hear that? He can do exceeding abundant above all that we ask or even think tonight, according to the power that worketh in us. Unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Listen, there is no prayer tonight that is too hard for God to answer. There is no problem tonight that is too big for God to solve. There is no person here tonight too lost for God to save. Hallelujah. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. I'm glad. Thank God that's the only way you can get saved is to get lost. Amen. If you're lost tonight, He can save you. And there is no promise that God has given us that is too difficult for Him to keep tonight. So pray. Why? Because God wants us to. God has commanded us to pray, and failure to pray is sin tonight. God is inviting us to pray tonight, and failure to pray is an insult. God is letting us know that prayer is a privilege and failure to pray is a folly. Prayer is an opportunity. So failure to pray tonight is a tragedy. I wonder what's on your heart this evening. Preacher said something earlier about the husbands praying. He said that at the beginning of the service. He didn't know what I was going to preach tonight. Wondering any dads in here tonight need to pray for their family? Any mamas and daddies need to pray for their children? Any husband and wife dealing with things tonight, trying to deal with it yourself? Y'all just make you out of place here and call unto Him. See, He's the one who can do something about it. Young person dealing with something in your teen years and say, well, mom and daddy, I really don't want to talk to them about it. Some people just wouldn't understand it. Well, listen tonight, you can take it to Him. You can call on Him. Call. I'll answer you. I'll show you some great and mighty things which thou knowest not. You know why you don't know some things tonight? Because you hadn't asked Him. Simple as that. Say, I'm miserable in my life right now. Hey, call on Him. He'll help you with that. Going through a drought spiritually tonight. Hey, call on Him. He can help you. Whatever you need, we're standing this evening. Brother Terry is going to lead us in an invitation.